Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's Monday, January 30th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynes, we have to start off the show today with some sad news. The Guardians just recently announced the passing of John Adams at age 71. Of course, Adams was the longtime drummer and fan who attended thousands of Cleveland baseball games over the last five decades. First bringing his 26-inch bass drum to the bleachers at Old Municipal Stadium back in 1973. And then he just sort of stuck around and came to every game and sat out there and pounded away. Anytime the Indians or the Guardians got runners in scoring position, he was always there to sort of provide that heartbeat, that bass line for the fans to cheer and clap. This is a guy who's going to be missed for sure. He was even active on Twitter. You know, when he couldn't come to the ballpark anymore, he would be watching games, and you could tell he was still one of those diehards. And it's just going to be a big loss for the franchise to not have him around anymore.
He was like part of the fabric of the ballpark. You know, the last couple of years have been really weird not having, you know, hearing the drum beat out of the bleachers, you know, when a rally was close or, you know, he was trying to stir up the fans. John ran into a series of health problems, you know, around 2018, 2019, you know, the pandemic kept him away from the ballpark. And then, really, the health issues kept him away in 2021 and 2022.
So, over the years, and his sort of connection to the club sort of mirrored your journey with this club so far for as long as you've been covering the team. So you probably talked to him on several occasions at different events and, you know, at the ballpark on a number of occasions, right?
Yeah, I did. And the conversation that stands out to me, Joe, is when I first started, you know, covering Cleveland, the Indians in 1984, I believe. I started covering in 83, but in 84, Peter Bavese was the president of the ball club, and he was going to shut down the bleachers at Municipal Stadium. He wanted to, the ballpark was so big and that crowd of, 10,000 would get lost in there, and they were only drawing about 3,000, and he wanted to, bring the fans closer to the field. But, you know, that was John Adams' territory. That was his kingdom. And he was not happy. I went out and talked to him, and the famous quote was, guys like Bavese come and go all the time. I'm here, this is my team. I'm here. And, Bavese took that Adams phrase, this is my team, and made it the team slogan for that year. So he kept the bleachers open, and, John kept banging away at the drum, and life went on, and he was right. Bavese did come and go, and, John stayed on for what, almost 50 years. So,
yeah,
it's a sad day that today is a sad day that he passed, but he provided so many great memories. You know, I think any Indians slash Guardians fans, you know, that he's got to be in their top 10. Just the backbeat, like you said, of Indians games and Guardians games is John Adams' drum.
Yeah, I think, you know, for our purposes, for the rest of the time, I mean, he only really ever beat his drum at Indians games before they changed the franchise's name. So, I mean, we're fine referring to it as Indians games for purposes of our discussion here. But I mean, there are things about John Adams that just stick in your mind. You know, he would show up wearing wearing that white button-down shirt with a Chief Wahoo cap on, and he would always sit at the top row, the farthest in left center field. That was his seat. You always knew where to find him at Progressive Field. They even put a robotic camera up there, you know, to sort of have a shot of him as he was beating on the drum. After a while, just so many things about the way he went about being a fan of the team really stand out. You mentioned how, you know, whenever there was a rally going on, he had rules, didn't he, about how, you know, he would only bang on the drum when there were runners in scoring position, or if it was at the start of the game, or if, you know, they were in the bottom of the ninth and they needed to close out a win. Those were the times when you would really hear him when it was important for the fans to stop and notice that, you know, something was going on the field.
Yeah, he was very attuned with the game. You know, I remember at the old stadium, he had his bass drum, and there was a couple other drummers sitting up there, you know, with snare drums and stuff. It was like a band almost. And I think they were just having a good time up there. But he was, you know, very attuned with the game, very attuned with, situational baseball.
Mm-hmm. He wanted the bass drum to sort of mimic if you remember in the old stadium, the seats, fans would like slam the empty seats next to them. They would slam them up and down to sort of make that sound, to mimic that, that beat. And he sort of wanted to continue that. That's why he sat up in the bleachers with it. When he would pound, the fans would respond by pounding their seat, backs as well. It was almost like a communication back and forth.
Yeah, those old wooden seats at the stadium, they were pretty good noisemakers. And I think, you know, he said when I think he went to his first game in 1955, his parents took him, and you know, as he went, you know, to more games, he said he would. You know, he would use those seats as, you know, to make noise. So I think maybe that's what happened. You know, they just went from a chair to a bass drum.
Yeah. And then that brings you to August 24th of 1973. The Indians are taking on the Rangers, and it's a game at the old stadium. And so he shows up with his drum and he decides to bang on it during the game. And then the team asks him back, the Indians, PR people and everybody, they all, want to have him back for more games. And he didn't want to commit to anything, but he eventually just started coming to every game. And what, over 40, 45, 46 years, he only probably missed a handful, maybe 40 or so games total.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think, the Guardians did a video, just released a video, and it was narrated by Bobby DiBiase. And he said he only missed about 45 games over that whole stretch, you know, from 73 till 2019, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, just an amazing, consistency. And I remember, you know, when Bevesi was going to shut down the bleachers, Roy Smith was a pitcher for the Indians, and he's a scout. He's for the Mets now, and he said, "Well, what are they going to do with the guy with the drum?" That's how infused he was with this culture of the team. You know, they were players were worried about where the drummer was going to go.
Yeah, it's when you're part of, you know, what other players in other cities think of when they come to town, and you know, you're sort of in their head about that. You're the guy who beats the drum out there. You're like you said, woven into the fabric of baseball here in Cleveland. April 27th, 2011, Adams banged on his drum at his 3,000th game. I don't know how they added them all up and they audited the whole thing, you know, but just like a guy getting his 3,000th hit, the 3,000th game, you know, that's something that's Hall of Fame worthy. I mean, John Adams' drum should be in the Hall of Fame. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, that's the next step, Joe. You know, he has his bench, his drum bench is in Heritage Park. You know, the Guardians Hall of Fame. I think they're commissioned like a bronze drum to be placed on his seat at the bleachers at a Progressive Field. So maybe a trip to Cooperstown is next in line for the bass drum.
Think about all of the amazing plays and players and Hall of Famers and legends that passed through Cleveland, and you know, he witnessed at games. You know, he was there May 15th, 1981, when Len Barker pitched his perfect game. He was in the, you watch the replay of that every year on TV, and you can hear him in the background beating on the drum.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Amazing, longevity. That's the kind of thing, the things you think of when you think of Hall of Famers is, you know, that longevity and that streak and that, just being there all the time. He banged his drum at, you know, 3 All-Star games and 3 World Series, 11 playoff series, appearances for John Adams and his drum. But I think what really sticks out to me is the way that once he attained that certain level of, you know, local celebrity, or, you know, even beyond a little bit of local celebrity, he was always so gracious with his time and with the fans, especially the young fans. You know, kids love to grab your drumsticks and bang on anything. But, you know, at how many, you know, tribe fests or events for the team, you know, it's, hey, come meet John Adams and, you know, bang on his drum. And he was always willing to be so gracious with the young fans and the, young and old, but particularly the kids would always get a kick out of seeing John Adams at an event.
Yeah, that's a great point, Joe. I remember, you know, at Tribe Fest, John Adams would be sitting, you know, standing there, and his bass drum would be right next to him. All these little kids would be lined up to, you know, take a swing at the drum. And sometimes a baton was as big as the drumstick, or the baton that he hit the drum with was as big as the kids. So, you know, it was cute. And, you know, and John was always so patient with that. I think he loved it. You know, he really loved being associated with the team and bringing a little joy to people.
Yeah, that's you could tell he was proud of sort of what he had cultivated for so many years and brought along. You know, they in 2006 they gave him his own bobblehead. So I mean, you know, you've made it when they make a bobblehead for you and they give it away to fans, and that's a cherished item among some. That's as popular as the Terry Francona on his scooter bobblehead. You know, you got to think, but. John Adams and his drum had their own bobblehead. You watch movies like Major League, and he inspired some of the characters in Major League with the guys sitting out in center field with their drums. He was just, like you said, you can't think of this franchise and any sort of the fans of this franchise, you can't think of without thinking of John Adams first and foremost.
Yeah, I mean, it's just. You know, it's like it's just like the white noise of the you know, it's always in the background when you think about Cleveland baseball. You think about that drum beat. You think about, you know, just kind of the the backbeat of it. And it's just, it's always there. And, you know, the last couple of years, it just hasn't seemed like the same, you know. And I know John, you know, always said he wanted to get back to the ballpark. He was determined to get back to the ballpark. You know, he just couldn't make it. I think he had a series of, you know, really, you know, physical setbacks that there were just too much to overcome. But, you know, you think when you think of Progressive Field and you think of, you know, Cleveland baseball, yeah, I think, you know, you're always going to think of John Adams. I don't think that's never going to go away. And, you know, so he's always going to be there.
Yeah. Back in, I remember it was opening day of 2019, and they sort of knew that, you know, John wasn't going to be able to continue to be at every game or as many games or as many opening days moving forward. So they brought in a sort of a celebrity fill-in, and he was there with John in his top row seat. And Patrick Kearney from the Black Keys, the drummer from the Black Keys, a local band in Akron. And, you know, he sort of understood the gravity of what he was doing in sort of, you know, taking that mantle, taking up that role and pounding on the drum there. On opening day and, you know, sort of doing it the way John did it in the tradition that John Adams did it. So it was, you know, and I believe he was back, Patrick Kearney was either last year or this year for opening day as well.
In 2021, he was back, Joe.
He was back in 21. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, you know, maybe the Guardians do something like, when Harry Carey passed away, and they brought out celebrities to do, you know, take me out to the ball game at Wrigley Field. You know, maybe you do a celebrity drummer or a guest drummer, or you give that honor to somebody to sort of keep that tradition alive in that area out in the bleachers. The other thing that occurs to me, you know, I wonder what the players all thought of, and it'll be interesting to ask some of them. You know, nobody on the current Guardians team they're all too young right now. You pretty much got to ask veteran visiting players, a guy like Miguel Cabrera you know, guys who have been around for a while who have heard that drum over and over again. But I wonder what they thought of just the sound of it and the way that they that John Adams got the crowd into it when maybe it was a little bit sleep. Baseball's a game where you can sort of fall asleep in the stands if you're not fully engaged. And I wonder what you know, the players themselves thought about that constant drumbeat whenever there was a threat for Cleveland to score.
Yeah, I think they loved it. I really do. But I guess we'd have to ask some of the older guys. You're right. You know, Corey Kluber, even Sandy Alomar, you know, knows what it sounded like and what it felt like. And I think it's kind of cool, Joe, that they still have the audio of, you know, John Adams drumming. They used a couple of videos of it last year going down the stretch. You know, they showed a drum on the scoreboard, you know, trying to, you know, stir up a rally, you know, when they were headed toward the AL Central in the postseason. So I bet they're able to work something out where, you know, where they still keep that, you know, that touch of John Adams alive, you know, that audio is still there. Maybe they'll still be able to use it somehow.
Yeah, I just think back to games at Old Municipal Stadium, and, you know, he inspired the graphics on the video board, those old, you know, old school, you know, now by current standards, the graphics are, you know, outdated and old and cheesy, but, you know, just the image of the two drumsticks beating on the drum that would sort of get people going whenever he started up. It's fun to think about and try to relive some of these memories of him and just knowing that, you know, there's going to be a next step. We're going to see what they're going to do to sort of honor John Adams at the opener this year. I'm sure there will be something. And, you know, maybe we find out what the next, you know, tradition is going to be, how it's going to happen, that the Guardians are going to come up with, you know, their next super fan It'll be really hard to replace a guy like John Adams.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, he was, you know, inducted into the team's Distinguished Hall of Fame last year, for non-uniform personnel, you know, and that's about as high as an honor as you're going to get as a fan, or, you know, if someone that's not, you know, playing second base for Cleveland, that's a big time honor. And, you know, they did that for John. We'll have to see what's in store. I know one thing: he will not be forgotten by this organization.
No, that's a long time, a great sort of distinguished career of being a fan of doing all those things, and you'll never think about baseball in Cleveland without thinking about John Adams. I do. I mean, the guy's accomplished so much in his time that he even had a beer named after him. The Great Lakes Brewing Company produced Rally Drum Red Ale in honor of John Adams. So, you know, that goes back to 2012. I mean, there's all these things that, make up the history of what he was able to accomplish in Cleveland. So if you got a beer named after you, you're doing pretty good here in Cleveland. So we'll all be raising a glass to John Adams tonight as we think about the guy who's pretty much synonymous with baseball in Cleveland and being a fan and doing what it takes to show up every day. That's what the Guardians are all about. Hoynesy, it's been a pleasure going down memory road about John and the great times that he witnessed here in Cleveland on the baseball field and that we all sort of shared together. John, if you're out there listening, we'll keep the rally going and we'll look forward to the season opener.
That's well put, Joe. Well put, very well put.
All right, Hoynesy, we'll wrap up this edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast, and we'll talk to you again later on this week.
All right, buddy.